You guys are who makes it special. So be planning on it. Invite your friends. Because, you know, the truth is we all go through desert times. You know what I mean? It's like sometimes when things are just hard, when things aren't as fun, when there's not as much. Oh, also, I got to talk about babies a little bit. Paul's not here. Elijah and Maddie, that's it. See, they've been coming for about 3 or 4 weeks, or Paul Beatty's son and his wife. And she had a baby 2 days ago in Texas. So she is out. She's been coming, and was very great with child. And now she has a little boy that is out and fine. So one more baby. Can you guys believe how many babies God's blessed us with? It's like, if you don't have a baby, you're just not cool. Cool kids have babies. I mean, if you're under 40, we'll say that. Or under 60. Cool kids have babies. Guys, we love babies. I'm so thankful we're at a church that provides for them. You guys provide places. We have great 2 ladies working in the nursery. We have people working in the toddlers class, the pre-K, and we have history makers. And it's just so important that God trust us with kids. Like, He really does trust us with these little children. And what a great thing. And they're all beautiful. They're all wonderful. And next week, they'll be back in from Texas, and y'all get the new. I know. There's the newest baby, but not after 2 days ago. She's old now. She's no longer the newest. So, but we do go through desert times, right? And you know when you know what a desert's about? You know what the night's about? The darkness is about? It's about the dawn that's coming in the morning. When you're going through a desert time, you're in a perfect place to have an encounter with Jesus. He came to be the light of the world. He came to be our Savior. He came to deliver us from evil. And no matter what you're going through, no matter how dark it is, you know, the darkest day in history, 2,000 years ago, when we celebrate Easter for, the light was born. The light was shown in the desert, the Bible says. And we are still experiencing that light today. And I want to tell you, no matter how dark your life is, you need to understand the darkness is just an invitation for the light to come. And you need to call on the name of the Lord. You need to cry out to Him. I love the way that verse, it said, depend upon the Lord. Because here's what God says about deserts, right? The wilderness and dry land will be glad. That doesn't happen until after the land's dry. The dawn comes after the night. Deliverance comes after bondage. Guys, I'm going to tell you were created for Him to impact your lives. And that's what we're talking about. Why we invite people to Easter is because we have good news. There's an answer to your life's problems. There's an answer to where you're going, your destiny. There's an answer to set you free from the bondage and the chains in the past. And I wanted to talk about this again. Last Sunday, I talked about this. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. Somehow we got the idea that God sent Jesus to condemn mankind. And that's not what the Bible says. He didn't send His Son in the world to condemn it. He sent His Son into the world to save the world through Him. Do you need saving? Maybe you already know Jesus, but you still need saving. Your finances need saving, your health needs saving, your friends need saving, the world we live in needs saving. We need Him. And guys, what a great place. That's why we're encouraging you. Invite your friends to Easter. What they're going to meet is a good Savior. They're going to meet the Savior of the world that doesn't condemn, doesn't curse, doesn't destroy. He's the Savior, and that's what He's about. Now, last week I started talking about something. You see, when did God demonstrate His love towards you? Like, this is a rhetorical question. The answer's on the board. When did God demonstrate His love towards you? Was it after you changed? No. Was it before you even knew Him? Yes. Like, you know how much God loves you? He doesn't even care what you think about it. He still demonstrated His love towards you when you were still a sinner. Jesus died for you and me. And we get the idea that something else is God's here to punish us and God's here to make our life miserable and God's here to destroy us. That's not what the Bible talks about. Guys, invite your friends, because here, you know what they're going to hear? Jesus loves you. We love you. We even like you, most of you. You know, it's like we're going to feed you food. We're going to take care of your kids. We love you. We think you have value, worth, purpose, destiny. We think that you're not what you were. I mean, is anybody here besides me? I'm so thankful I am not what I was. I'm not, and you're not either. And no matter what people bring into our lives, into our community, into our family, no matter what they bring, it doesn't matter. That doesn't have to stay there forever. And we know a Savior that changes the world. So I love that verse. Now, you know, last week I talked about condemnation. Because, guys, I think we're just so good at this. It's such a big deal to all of us that we all condemn ourselves. I mean, you do too. You see areas in your life that you judge yourself. You see areas in your life that other people are judging you, how they're looking at you. You feel, even if you don't know the Lord, you still feel guilt. You still feel less than. You still feel not enough. You still feel stuck. You see, condemnation is just a huge part of our world. And so I wanted to talk about condemnation again today, and I wanted to make it a little more clear. Harvey, guess what I forgot? On my desk, those papers I printed out, if you don't mind. Thank you. I forgot them because I want to give you guys some papers because I think this is really true. Here's what condemnation means. Maybe you don't think you deal with condemnation, right? Condemnation means to pronounce unfit. It's a proclamation. This building is unfit for occupancy. This building is unsafe. This building is unusable. In the human world, this is you're guilty. You're not good enough. It involves punishment. It involves judgment. You know, it's what happens. And a lot of us feel that way. We feel it that we're not a good enough parent. We feel that we're not far enough along in our spiritual life. We feel it that I'm not a good enough dad. Or we start looking back and saying, I could have done that better. And we get caught up in the condemnation and judgment of our own lives. And then we live in a world that condemns all the time. I mean, it's like if you want to be a popular talking head on the social media, all you got to do is talk about people. Talk about how bad they are. Talk about all the stuff they're doing wrong. It's like the more anger you can show. I had a friend of mine. He's come here. He got healed here. He used to be called Treetop. He was a big wig radio personality, like on a national level back in the 80s. And I was just talking to him, and his name's Hank. I was talking to him. I said, Hank, tell me about why you became such a bigwig. He said, because I could put down anybody. He said, the more anger I showed on my radio program. Here you go, Rick. You can keep those. Later on, I want to pass those out, okay? Or we can pass them out now. Yeah, you want to go ahead and pass them out? And I'll tell you what these are for, but you can just pass them out. You guys can have them. If we don't have enough, we'll have some more next week. So hey, that's what Hank told me. He said, the way you get listeners is by being aggressive and angry. He said, showing emotion and talking about people and dividing people. That's how you get listeners. We live in a world where that's what we do. Does anybody go on the news to hear the good news? No. They want to tell you the worst news they can come up with because that's what our ears are drawn to. And we live in that world. Guys, condemnation isn't from the Lord. You know, I love this verse. Therefore, there is now no. Now, y'all aren't going to be able to deal with this intellectually. You're going to hear me read this, or you're going to read it on the screen, and it's just going to go right through your head. You're not even going to think about it because it's too much. This can't be true. What, I mean, you know, thankfully we believe God's word is God's word. We believe the Bible's without error. We believe that this is God's voice speaking to us. And God says this in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, because of all the stuff Paul's talking about, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? So we've got a problem because we still feel condemned. We still feel less than. We still feel judged. We still feel, some of us, deep guilt and regret. You know, regret comes from condemnation. But God says if you're in Jesus, there is no condemnation in you. And he said, no, none. Yeah, but he doesn't know what I did. You know, check what you're saying. God knows us all. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about you, past, present, and future. He knows us. And he says there's no condemnation in you. So what I want to say is, why are you still judging yourself? Why do you still feel guilty? Why do you still feel like there's a punishment coming? That's how we feel. Why do you still feel like I'm just suffering? You know, we teach our children about consequences and we use that word, but we use it in a sense that sometimes we put that on Jesus. You know, Jesus took every consequence for every sin you and I have ever done. Everyone. Jesus died for the sin of the world. There's nothing you've done that he didn't already take the consequence for, and we sit around waiting for the consequence to come on us. Like we get into the Santa Claus syndrome. Y'all know who Santa Claus is? You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not shout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town, and he's going to jump all over you, and you're not getting any gifts because you were naughty. That's not what God's like. That's not at all what God's like. You know, the law says you have to pay for your sin. Now, I know I'm a parent. I'm a grandfather. I understand raising children and how we use the word consequence. But in the spiritual realm, in the real world, the law says we have to pay the consequences for our sin. Jesus said, I paid for your sin. Past tense, guys. Why would you want to invite people to know Jesus so they can be free and they can be happy? And all that junk in the past is in the past, and they can be free from that bondage and walk in newness of life. You see, because Jesus already paid for it. But the law says you have to pay for it, that you're going to have punishment. God's going to come down on you. Your past is going to catch up with you. It's going to. Pay the piper. I'm thinking of a saying. I can't think of it. But anyway, don't make the pauper mad. You got to pay him or he won't blow the flute. No, that's not true. Not with Jesus. It's grace, 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 grace. So today I want to talk about something. Does condemnation, when you think about it, what does God require out of us? Well, you got to obey the Ten Commandments. Well, you got to do right. You see, we get the thing backwards. Whoever believes in him, Jesus, right? The only Jesus, the Messiah. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. A lot of times we read that verse and we think it's just talking about your salvation experience, but that's not what the Bible says. Whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned. Now, do you know, as a believer, I can still have areas in my life where I don't believe? That's what the paper I passed out to you is about. I just put down a bunch of verses that say who you are in Christ. It's just verses that say who you are, who he sees you as, who he proclaims you. You know, when God created the heavens and the earth and he said, let there be light, he proclaimed it. Everything that was created came from his voice. And he, that same powerful voice, proclaims that you're free from sin, that you're not condemned. He took your punishment. He took the pain. He took everything. And all you have to do is believe. Believe. You can't do anything to add to it. You can't make it. Now, how do you know if you're living in condemnation? I know this sounds a little vague. I just got a couple of points here. I mentioned these last week, but I want you to do a heart check. Is this you? Is this part of, because I want you to be free from condemnation. I want you to be full of joy and peace. And when you sing those songs like we were talking about, you don't have, it's just there because you're free. Now, here's the first test. How do you know if you're living in condemnation? You think about the past a lot. Come on. You think about the past a lot. That's one way. It's like you actually are feeding that spirit called regret. Is the past the past? Yes. Jesus said, anyone who's in him is a new creation. The old is gone. It's new, walk in newness of life. You see, the enemy wants you to never let go of the past. And Jesus said, I came so you could be free. It doesn't matter what you did. I paid it all. His blood is sufficient for everything. So you think about the past a lot. Here's a big one for most of us. You struggle, I mean, a real struggle with forgiving yourself. Is that you? Do you struggle with forgiving yourself for what you did or didn't do or where you went? Or maybe you had a bad 30 years run, you know? Some people have a bad week. Other people have bad 30 years. And you struggle with that. You struggle with forgiving yourself for that. You struggle with forgiving yourself for the thing that's usually, you know what we struggle with? The thing that's most important to us, we struggle with forgiving ourselves for that. You know, and you know this, I said it last week, I think it's really true. The devil will arrange for you to be constantly reminded of anything that you haven't forgiven yourself for. He'll line it up. You'll run. You'll hit the thing face to face all the time. Like every time you turn around, you'll see something that reminds you of, I remember something I stole one time, and I get reminded of it all the time. But I know God's already forgiven me. I didn't even know what to do with that pickup truckload of barbed wire I stole. I don't even know why I did it. It cut me to pieces, and I didn't make any money on it. Yeah, I really did steal it. He'll remind me, and I'm like, Jesus, you came for the lost. You paid for me while I was still a sinner. You see, and it's true all the time. Did I steal it? Yes. Did I repay them? I actually did. But, you're a thief. I'm a son of God. Because of Jesus, not what I did or didn't do. You're not good because of what you did last night or what you did this morning. And you're not bad because of what you did last night or what you did this morning. You might have been drunk when you woke up this morning, and then the Holy Spirit did something and he told you to come here, and it's like, amen. You know, Jesus already knew that. He's already paid for that. And that's just the way it goes. So you struggle with forgiving yourself. You know, when you struggle with that, Jesus canceled. With his blood, he canceled condemnation. He said, whoever believes in him is not condemned. Jesus did that through the power of his death, burial, and resurrection. He hid those hands and those feet and the cross we think about, you know, Good Friday's coming. That canceled any right the enemy has to condemn you, and it canceled any right you have to condemn yourself. Doesn't matter what you did. Jesus' blood was more powerful than that. When you can't let go of your past sins, you're struggling to believe that Jesus has forgiven you. You know, that's what we struggle with. Jesus, I don't know how you could forgive me because I can't forgive myself. Jesus, this was too much. That really what we're saying is, Jesus, what I did is too much for you. Well, who do you think you are telling Jesus what you did was too much for him? It's like, you need to back up a little bit. He's the creator of the universe. You can't do anything that's too much for Jesus Christ. And we need to remember that. And it's so cool when this happens. Listen, another way you might know that you're walking in condemnation is you have a judgmental and critical spirit. Now, this usually shows up towards other people. Well, they should be judged. I'm judging them, so they should be judged. Maybe you're not reading this right. You have a judgmental spirit, and you criticize people. Because the truth is, that thing happens. You only do that to others when you actually do it to yourself. Matthew 7:2, right? You'll be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. Guys, if you've got a critical, judgmental spirit, especially if you think you're right all the time, and I don't care. If you think you're right about politics and you have a right to be judgmental and critical, that just means you are judgmental and critical. God wants you to be free. He says you're not condemned, but you'll turn around and condemn someone else. You need to ask yourself, because if you're doing that to them, you're also doing it in your own heart. Well, Alan, what if they're wrong? I have a God that I depend on. I depend on Him for everything. And it's still growing. I'm not there. I don't depend on Him for everything. But He wants us to get to the place where we're in freedom and we can depend on Him for everything. So don't be judgmental and critical. That means you aren't walking. You don't believe. It's a belief problem. It's not a criticizing problem. It's a heart belief problem. And you're not trusting God somewhere. Now, is there... Oh, the last one, I didn't say this. You feel unworthy. Like you're unworthy. When somebody gives you a gift, when somebody gives you a compliment, when you think about other people getting blessed and why you're not being blessed, you feel like you're unworthy, that you've done too much, gone too far, not good enough. It's just a feeling of I'm not enough. As a mom, as a dad, as a man, as a woman. And condemnation, I want this to get in our heads. I should have written it down so you could get it in your head. Condemnation is a result of unbelieving. Not believing in Jesus for your past, and not believing in Jesus for your present, and not believing in Jesus for your future. That's where condemnation comes from. And you can't stop it. But you can start to believe. You can start to depend upon Him for everything and quit depending on judgment for everything. So I want to talk about something. Have you ever noticed the contradictions in Scripture? When 40 years ago when I started reading the Bible and I fell in love with Jesus, the way my mind works, when I run into a contradiction, I know it's a contradiction because there are a lot of places in the Scripture where you can read it and it says this, and then you read somewhere else in Scripture that says the opposite. Now, because of my foundational belief that the Scriptures are inspired by the Holy Spirit, by God, I had a problem every time I would do that. Like, I couldn't understand. I would be like, God, I know this is true because the Scripture says it, and I know this is true because the Scripture says it, but I can't make that make sense in my head. And so I had this big place in my heart that I called my I don't understand folder. And all the Scriptures in the Bible that I would run into, I just would choose by faith to put them there, and I believe them. Yeah, but you sound like an idiot because you say you're speaking out both sides of your mouth. And I said, I don't care. I believe the Word of God. I believe the Scripture. And so you're saved by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this, right? That means that there's nothing you did to earn it. There's nothing you did to deserve it. It's a gift from God. And we all know that's true. You can't do anything to add to your salvation. And you can't do anything to take away from your salvation because it's all Jesus. It was all Him. The only thing we do is we get to believe. And when we believe, this gift that God has given us begins becoming enabled, active, effective in our life. That's why we can look back and say, listen, I thank God, I know I'm not there yet, but I thank God I'm not where I was. I'm on the way. And we know that's really true, and we're good for that. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. Now, we know that's true, but when you look at that, it's like we can't boast. It's all Jesus. It's all Him. So we know it's true. Now, there's the contradiction. So let's go back to that verse. It's grace. It's free. There's nothing we can do to make it happen or to hinder it from happening. It's by believing in Jesus Christ, and it's done. Jesus brought light to the world 2,000 years ago, and it can't be stopped. Now, but the Bible also says, actually, the Apostle Paul, who wrote Ephesians 2:8, in Philippians, he wrote these words, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Wait a second, Paul. You said it's a gift, and now you're saying I've got to work it out. Well, if that's not in your I don't understand folder, it should be in there. Because I noticed that a long time ago. I'm like, but God, I know it's grace. I know it's by believing. I know it's a free gift. But God, you also say we have to, look what he says in Philippians 2:12 in the NLT. I like the word they use here. Work hard. Well, I thought it was grace. I thought it was a gift. Now you're telling me to work. Which is it? You know, it's like, wait a second. Now, here's what I want to talk about this morning for just a second. You see, the first one, that one deal is talking about when you're saved by His grace, you become in Christ. And in Christ, in eternity, in the spirit realm, you are fully, completely transformed and saved. And you can't do anything to change that. Who you are, you can't change. But on this earth, in our life here on earth, we're still in progress. You see, that first state is, this is my state of being. This is my position in Christ. The other thing Paul's talking about is, okay, I've got you here. You know, it's funny, the scripture is very clear. We begin as baby Christians. We begin as newborns, infants, nepios. You know, there's several words for that. That's where we begin as a Christian. Every one of us begin at the same birth when we're born again. But guess what babies do? I mean, right now, they're really little. But they're going to grow, and they're going to grow, and then they'll become toddlers, and then they'll become elementary school, and then they get to the young teenage, and they grow. Do you know that what Paul's talking about here is, one is your birth. That never changes. It's always the same. It is decided. It is done. The other thing he's talking about is the way we progressively become on earth what's already in heaven. And so what's really, who you really are isn't that bad attitude you had. Who you really are isn't when you steal something or when you lie or when you cheat or when you throw up a anger, rage thing. That's not who you really are. Who you really are is in Christ Jesus, and there is nothing inside of you that's not perfect already. But now you're going to grow into that. And so what you do is the more you believe, the more you grow. And so I start off here, and I'm not there, but I'm here now. And now I'm here, and I believe that what Jesus did is true. And now the more I believe, the more I grow. Because how do you become a Christian? You become by believing. How do you begin to experience God? Through grace, by faith. You believe. Guess how you grow? The same way. And so as you grow, you're actually working out. And it's not you working it out. That's where you, I need to set you free from that, because this is a way we really judge ourselves, I think. We think we have to work hard to become what God has said we are. No, you didn't work hard to get saved. You didn't work hard to get born again. You just believed. You don't work hard to become what you are. You know what the work of God is? So you don't have to work hard to do that. You know what God says? Here's what he says, and he said in Philippians 1:6, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished. Now, this is his word to every one of us. He's going to finish what he started on the day when Christ Jesus returns. You know what we do? That's why we get tired, Dana, like you were talking about. Because we try to work to become what we are, when the way we do that is in believing. Missy uses the word rest a lot. It's believing. You don't work. So this transformation that you see in your life, like you were like this, you did act that way, you did have this attitude, you had this addiction, you had this problem, you weren't walking in the grace and power of God. That was really true. But now you're here. That's because of what you believing in what Jesus did inside of you, and he's the one that brought you from here to here. So he gets all the glory, he gets all the honor, he gets all the credit, because it's his glory being released in your life. And you know how it happens? By the only work God wants from you. I didn't make this up. Jesus said this in John chapter 6. Okay, Jesus was doing a lot of miracles. If you go back to John and read the first 6 chapters, he's doing a lot of supernatural stuff. And it's amazing, feeding the 5,000, walking on water. He's doing a lot of miracles. And all the people were following him, crowds, huge crowds were coming around him. And they said this to Jesus, we want to perform God's works too. Don't you want to do God's works? You want to walk in peace? You want to walk in power? You want to be able to help people, heal the sick, pray for people, cast out demons? You want to do that? We all do. I want to do that. Now, look what Jesus said. They asked him, Jesus, we want to do what you're doing. And he said the most amazing thing. He said, there's only one work God wants from you. You see, we're destined to live in self-effort and self-righteousness. We're destined. That's that sin thing inside of us. We want to accomplish something ourselves. We want to do it. And what did Jesus say? There's only one work God wants from you. Believe in the one he sent. You know, your only work to become who God wants you to be is believing who God says you are. Okay, I just said that. I don't know if you got it. The only work God wants out of us. Well, Alan, you just asked us to invite people to come to Easter. Yeah, I did. Because they need to meet this God. But the only work we really do is we believe in what Jesus did and said. And when we believe in him, he changes our want to's. You know your want to? He changes our want to's to be line up with his want to's. He changes our minds to line up with his mind. He gives us a desire. You know, I like that because that's a good word. Philippians 2:13. For God is working in you. You can fight it all you want to. That's why I don't even worry about that. I really don't. I'm like, you know what? I've got friends who just are fighting the love of God with everything in them. They want to stay angry. They want to stay mean. They want to stay depressed. They're trying, and I don't know what to say to them. I mean, I can't make her stop. But I know someone who's working inside of you right now. He is. Every one of us. God is working in you right now. I don't care if you want to quit. If you're, you know, yours may be dipping tobacco or something. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Right now, you desire it with all your heart. It's all you ever think about. But I'm going to tell you, the Spirit of God inside of you is working to change your desire. He's working. He's changed so many desires in me, I could write them down. I'm like, God, I really did sort of enjoy hurting people, you know. What kind of maniac likes hurting people? I don't know. It was me and I was in bondage. But you know what? I want to help people now. It's like, well, Alan, are you doing all that just because you're a preacher? I'm telling you, I don't do anything because I'm a preacher, because y'all don't make me, so why would I do it? I do what I want to do. Well, what do? I help people. I talk to people. I love people. I love kids. I pick up trash. Why? Because I desire to. Well, who gave you that desire? Because I didn't used to have it. I used to be all about me. Like, I didn't care about you at all. I mean, that was like 3 weeks ago, so I've changed a lot in 3 weeks. It's been a few years, but it was true. If you had something I wanted it, and I would take it. Didn't care what happened to you. Well, how did you change? I don't know. I started believing. I met Jesus. I didn't want to go to hell. I believed him for that. Then I believed him, and I believed him, and I believed him, and I believed him, and I believed him. And every time I read the Scripture, I look for what the Scripture is saying about me, and then I'm asking God for the faith to believe it. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there. You know what? I'll be there on the day that Christ Jesus returns. And you will too. So you can fight it. You can be miserable if you want to, but if I were you, I'd give in. God saved you by His grace when you believed. He's still changing your life today when you believe. See, we think we've got to do something. The truth is, doing comes out of our believing. Doing comes out of our believing. Yeah, you ever pray for anybody and they got healed? Yeah. Lots. You ever done miracles? Yeah. Well, you know why? Because I believe. That's a natural thing that happens when you believe. You'll start casting out demons. You'll start praying for the sick. You'll raise the dead. You'll walk on water. You'll put marriages and families back together. You'll be able to help a suicidal teenager that no one in the world can help. Why? Because the same Spirit that lives in you lived in Jesus. And when you believe what Jesus says about you is true, that gives him the right. I got to find that. I wrote it down because I couldn't. Okay. I wanted to say this. God is taking your desires away because you believe. And God's giving you new desires because you believe. And it's all grace. And you know what? Believing, faith. You're believing. When you believe, it gives God the freedom to work in your life. When you cry out to Him, I need you, God. I need you. That's faith. You're connecting with Him. You just gave Him the right to intervene in your life. When you believe. When you say, God, I depend upon you for this. I depend upon you for my kids. I depend upon you for my life, for my house, for the money. For God, I depend upon you for the future of the United States of America, not those people. I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, I forget those other words, but whatever they are, that doesn't matter. I don't depend upon those parties. God, I depend upon you for this nation, for our kids' future. God, I depend upon you. Yeah, if you looked at your checking account, I don't want to worship mammon. I don't want to worship money. I don't depend on money. Guys, I'm going to tell you, God's call, He's working this out in you, and you can't stop it. Can't stop it. And I'm so glad, because now it's not on me. I don't depend upon me for your salvation. I depend upon Him for your future and your destiny and what God's doing. So, guys, this morning, it's be a good day to say, okay, God, I want to start believing. That's why I gave you those papers. If you feel like it, look through them. Ask God which ones you need to really focus on, because you won't focus on all of them. Study them. If you want to. And because the more you look at it, the more you believe, the more you release God to come into your life, to effectively change your life. He may have, I don't know what kind of miracles he has waiting. Listen, we worship miracles. The truth is we worship God, and everywhere God goes, miracles happen. We don't chase miracles, we chase him. And when you chase him, miracles will follow you all the days of your life. So this morning, I'd ask God, I want to believe in you. Well, those are just some scriptures that are a good place to start. Believe what the Bible says about you, because it's really all about him. Jesus did. You know, every one of those things I wrote down, not one of those things you have anything to do with. It's all him. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You can't study your way into it. Jesus did it, and it's done. So let's all stand up and pray. I think I'm excited that your life is going to start changing dramatically. The more you believe in what Jesus says about you, the more your life is going to line up with heaven. And when you line up with heaven, there's nothing in the way that's stopping the grace and power of God coming in your life. Amen. Don't forget to take it. I think I understood, Katie. There's eggs out there you can take that say what we need for Easter. I think that's what she said. Is that what she said? I was trying to understand. Okay. So we have ministry teams up front that would... This year could be the best year of your life if you'd start this journey. Just this journey. Start a journey fighting for faith to believe in what God says about you. Pretty soon, hopefully, we'll get to see Elijah. I've known Elijah since he was born, and that he just had that new baby 2 days ago. Paul sent me a picture. It looks like a baby. I think it's a boy. It's hard to tell because they're like wrapped up. The only thing you see is a face. But what a blessing, huh? It's Paul's 15th grandchild. Like, dude, I am so far behind. Jesus, I just thank you for today. I thank you that you have good news, and that we have good news to share with our friends. And Jesus, we believe in you. God, I just want us to become a body that depends on you for everything, that we don't get to take credit for anything, God. It's all because of you. Every blessing, every change, God, the roof over our head, the food, the money, the whatever thing you've given us, God, we thank you and we bless your name. God, we just say thank you for your blessings. And God, I ask that you admit it, you would call people right now. Maybe you're here today and you've never made that choice to begin depending upon God. You've been working on your own for a long time. Jesus is inviting you, like Kelly said. He's inviting you to come and meet him today. Change your life today. Not by you doing anything, but by depending on Jesus Christ. He's good. So this morning, I just invite you to come and pray with one of these teams. And you guys, thank you for being here. For next Sunday, it'll be fun.